It's Tuesday, May 17th, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga. Paul Hoynes is off today, and so I'll be handling most of the duties for this episode. And I just wanted to get into a couple of different topics here. We've been talking with our subtext subscribers back and forth about Aaron Civale, about James Karinchak, a number of different players and situations here with the Guardians. So let's dive into that. Yesterday's news, the Guardians were off on Monday as they prepare to open a quick two-game series with the Cincinnati Reds beginning Tuesday night at Progressive Field. But prior to that, they announced that they had acquired right-handed pitcher Yohan Ramirez from the Seattle Mariners in exchange for either cash considerations or a player to be named later. Ramirez was immediately optioned to AAA Columbus, and in order to create a spot on the 40-man roster, James Karinchak was transferred from the 10-day injured list to the 60-day injured list. Now, Karinchak is still rehabbing and working on a back injury, a shoulder injury in his right upper back, the teres major muscle. I guess it's one that's the Guardians fans are familiar with over the last few years. Mike Clevinger famously had the injury, and he worked through it back in 2019. And a couple of other players have suffered the injury, most notably Shane Bieber worked through a similar injury during the 2021 season. But for Karinchak, a guy who, you know, lives and dies with his velocity, his location, and his curveball, you got to be careful with this teres major injury, because this could develop into something that could be a long time, you don't want to see it develop into anything that needs surgery. So Karinchak, the injury occurred or was first noted in spring training. He hasn't made his way this way towards Ohio yet from Arizona. That was what was supposed to happen before the COVID outbreak last week in Minnesota, but they sort of put the brakes on that, not wanting to bring Karinchak around the club or any of the coaches, to risk any sort of infection there. But in the meantime, Karinchak has been out in Arizona. He's progressed to throwing off a mound. There's no reason right now with the way the Guardians bullpen is pitching to necessarily sort of rush Karinchak along. But they've acquired this right-handed pitcher, Ramirez, Yohan Ramirez from Seattle. Let's talk about him for a few seconds here. Ramirez 1-0 with a 7.56 ERA. He's walked 6 and struck out 10 in 7 relief appearances for Seattle this season. He was designated for assignment on May 13th, and that gave the Mariners the opportunity to seek a trade partner for him. Generally, these cash considerations usually work out to the other team just basically covering the balance of the guy's salary or what the trading team has already paid him this year. So Ramirez is going to get a shot to head to AAA and pitch there and see if he's somebody who fits with the program or fits with the system with Cleveland. Dominican native, 27 years old, made his major league debut back on in July of 2020, and spent parts of three seasons with Seattle, pitching between Seattle and Tacoma. He was a Rule 5 draft pick from Houston, so that's where his roots really come from, the Houston organization, and we know how Houston develops pitching. Rule 5 draft pick in 2019, and spent the season with Seattle then. So Karinchak moves from the 10-day injured list to the 60-day injured list. So there's really no sort of timetable or need to rush him right now. You've got Trevor Stephan, you've got Nick Sandlin, you've got Sam Henches, all of whom are able to set up Emmanuel Clase in the seventh, eighth innings. You know, Tito looks like the plan is to continue to pitch Brian Shaw maybe in some non-leverage situations until he figures some things out. And you've got Anthony Ghost there. They're going to pitch him. I'm assuming either only when they're ahead by a lot or trailing by a lot. But the bullpen looks like right now it's been pitching pretty well. It's ranked seventh in the American League in ERA. There's a lot to like about what's going on with the bullpen, particularly with Stephan and Hentges and the way they've developed. You know, I've said it a couple of times here on the podcast and in talking to Hoynsey, you knew what you were in for with Hentges and Stephan when you had them for their rookie years on the roster last season, and you would pitch them, you know, in the early stages of the season, you tried to protect them as much as possible when you could. And then later in the year, you gave them more leverage situations, and they sort of proved that they could come through it. And now you're seeing that pay off in the early part of this season, particularly with Stephan, but Hentges as well. I believe the stat is Hentges in 10 of his 12 outings, he's not allowed an earned run. Stephan's even better than that. He's been lights out. The development of Stephan's split finger, his splitter is a dangerous weapon out of the bullpen. You know, we've talked in the past about Karinchak's curveball and Class A's cutter. Well, you know, Stephan's splitter is now sort of the it pitch for that Guardians bullpen. And you've got Sandlin you throw into the mix there. He comes in and he's very effective against righties and lefties, particularly with his ability to throw his slider from that three-quarter slot. He's been really effective, and you know, he gets on top of you a little bit. I think most guys are surprised. You see a sidearmer come in, you're not expecting, you know, 94 to 96 miles an hour with that peak fastball, and that's what Sandlin gives you. He gets on top of hitters late in games and is able to get through it. So the bullpen pitching pretty well. They've added Johan Ramirez as an option. They've got Anthony Castro, who's a guy who's been back and forth between AAA and the Guardians roster as well. Just a lot of different directions they can go to get guys out when they need to, when they're ahead. That's when they're scoring runs. Over the weekend, scoring runs was a struggle on Sunday in a 3-1 loss, as Jose Ramirez's solo home run was the only run that the Guardians scored. But let's talk for a little bit about James Karinchak, and even when he does get healthy, where he might factor in to this bullpen. Right now, I think you've got to look at Karinchak as a luxury. If you get him back at any point this season, pitching effectively, he could be a guy who his greatest weapon is that ability to strike out a hitter at any point. I know Tito was fond of, once they instituted that rule about the extra innings and placing a runner at second base, Karinchak was the guy that you like to have out there with a runner on second base and nobody out to start an inning, because Karinchak was the guy most likely to be able to get you a strikeout at any point. Class A's stuff is overpowering, but his stuff also it's coming hard. You know, it's coming, you know, fastballs. And if you time it up, you can put a ball in play against Emmanuel Class A. He did develop his slider later on in the season last year, and that's what made him so effective as a closer. But if you're sitting fastball on Class A, you're going to be able to put a ball in play. And with a runner at second base in extra innings, he's a guy that you can move a runner over to third, get him in without even getting a base hit. So Karinchak's the guy that, you know, you want to have as a luxury in those sort of situations where he can get a strikeout and get you to the point where you can escape without allowing that, you know, game winning or game tying run to come in from second base. It's sort of, you know, nice to think about that curveball. We did see a sort of a precipitous drop off for Karinchak after Major League Baseball came out with the ban on the sticky substances and the inspections of the gloves and the pitcher's hands and hats and everything last year, that's sort of when we saw the decline in effectiveness for James Karinchak. And, you know, we don't know how it has specifically affected his curveball, but definitely his fastball and his location, and really a mental thing. You know, if you were a pitcher that was relying on, you know, some of those other means to sort of grip the baseball or to make your curveball more effective. You know, we've seen guys like New York ace Gerrit Cole go out there and you know, he's had meltdowns before as well after the sticky stuff was banned. So it's not an uncommon thing. It's, you know, not something that, you know, we've particularly been directly knowledgeable of in terms of, you know, was James Karinchak doing something like this? But, you know, to see the way that he has worked his way back in terms of last season, he went down to AAA, spent some time not throwing and just sort of working through mechanics, not appearing in games, just working on mechanics to get himself back to a spot. And what made one appearance in September before the end of the season. And really, we went into spring training not knowing what James Karinchak's future was going to be. I mean, this was a guy who was going to be the ultimate setup man for Emmanuel Clase. This was a guy in the offseason, if he could have had things figured out and been right physically, you know, gives the Guardians that 1-2 punch at the back end of the bullpen. Now that role has sort of been taken over by Trevor Stephan. And Trevor Stephan and Sam Henches both have been incredibly effective in that role. So I think it's interesting to see what will develop with Karinchak. Anything you get out of him at this point for the rest of the season, I think is extra and helps. But you know, and maybe you try to turn him in and flip him and include him in either a package for a trade or you know, if another team is curious about him, maybe they can work with him as well. But James Karinchak, a guy that still has a lot of question marks remaining for the Cleveland Guardians, and we'll see where things go from here about his effectiveness in the future for the Guardians. Other news and notes, we've got the Reds in town. The Reds are coming off of a curious game. They threw a no-hitter and still lost the game to Pittsburgh on Sunday. I think, you know, we talked about it in yesterday's podcast, and just Hunter Green, their outstanding rookie, that we will not see him on this quick two-game series. We will see Zach Plesac taking on Connor Overton. Overton 1-0 with a 1.59 ERA, a right-hander for the Reds. But in two games back in Cincinnati, you know, less than ideal conditions, but the Guardians handled the Reds. Their offense doesn't really have a lot of punch as of right now. Joey Votto still not in the lineup. He's working his way back after a COVID injury list stint. But you've got the Guardians. They lost the most effective hitter prior to the weekend was Josh Naylor. And he wasn't in their lineup. He missed the entire Minnesota series there. And that was, you know, a place that Josh Naylor didn't want to go back to anyways after, you know, reliving the memories of his horrific injury in the outfield there at Target Field. But Naylor could be back at some point, you know, maybe by the weekend. And, you know, Terry Francona is still out. Carl Willis managing tonight's game for certain. As we head to Progressive Field, the Reds went on to lose, I believe, after that meeting in early April, those two meetings at Great American Ballpark. The Reds went on to lose 18 of 19 games. From there, they pretty much cemented the fact that they're one of the most hapless teams in baseball. So that makes today's series opener and tomorrow's you know, quick two-game series finale. Mostly, I think they're most must wins for this Guardians club. I think you've got to win these games. As you win these games, and then you head into the weekend After an off day, you've got Detroit for three games, and that opens your season series with the Tigers. And the Tigers are struggling right now, and they're scuffling. And, you know, Javi Baez, might have strained a hamstring last night's game. There's a lot of opportunity here to get on a little bit of a roll, to grab some momentum. You've got Detroit this weekend. And then after a quick stop out in Houston, you've got Detroit at their place again next weekend. So opportunities there to maybe win some games and string together some wins, particularly if this Guardians pitching rotation gets going. You've got Zach Plesac going tonight. You've got Cal Quantrill going in Wednesday's ballgame. Quantrill's been excellent. Plesac's been up and down. And then Friday, you get to Aaron Civale, who's been a bit of a question mark. He's been a bit of an enigma early on this season. In his last four outings, he's given up 6, 6, 4, and 6 earned runs in those outings. And that's, not what we're used to seeing from Aaron Civale. The command and the execution of pitches when he needs them has not been there, with the exception of that game against Toronto, where he was excellent, striking batters out. I believe he had 8 strikeouts in the game. That's a season high for the Guardian staff. Savali's been a big question mark. So we're looking forward and looking ahead to Friday's game, and just what we're going to get out of Aaron Civale in that opener against Detroit. But again, that brings us back to tonight. Tuesday night, the series opener against the Reds. I think it's a game where the Guardians, it would be highly disappointing if they did not come out and at least, you've got Franmil Reyes hitting at home, where he's about 300 batting average points higher at home than he is on the road. So you can get him going. You can get, Jose Ramirez feeling comfortable after a home run on Sunday. And Andrés Giménez, who's probably the hottest hitter in your lineup right now because Josh Naylor had to sit out 3 games. Andrés Giménez is a guy who's slugging over 600 over his last 3 or 4 games, just based on the fact that he's seeing more pitches and he's driving the ball now. Terry Francona is very fond of saying a guy like Andrés Giménez is a young kid who we like to see him grow into his power. And it's a phrase that we've heard Francona use quite a bit. Giménez growing into his power. We saw it in Minnesota, a couple of doubles, home run, being able to drive the ball to right field. We don't want to see him drive the ball, exclusively pull the ball, but you've definitely going to see him, I believe in Chicago, you saw him hit a ball out to left field on a pitch that was down and away, and he drove it. So a guy like Andrés Giménez, if he gets going in the bottom of the lineup, you've got Ahmed Rosario, a couple of 3-hit games in the last week. Ahmed Rosario, a lot of fun to watch. This is the time of year. If you go back to last season, the middle of May is when Ahmed Rosario really sort of picked it up and put things together at the plate and started, collecting hits in bunches. Ahmed Rosario is a guy who you look up and he's got 3 hits in a game and you're expecting a 4th and you're expecting a 5th. It's happened more than once. So we'll dive into Rosario this week and we'll see if he's able to sort of continue what he did last season, this season starting in May, and get going from there. That's going to wrap it up for today's edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. I'm Joe Noga. I will be back with you again tomorrow, and we'll talk to you then.